Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Ross Menke. Ross, are you ready to do this?
Hey, George. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Let's do this. Ross is a CFP and the founder of Lindale Financial. He is a fiduciary advisor as well, meaning that he puts his clients' interests above his own at all times. I'm excited to have you on. Ross, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I'm originally from South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, born and raised, and then moved to Nashville, Tennessee here in 2015, then founded my firm, Lindale Financial, in the fall of 2016.
Nice.
And like you said, a fee-only firm, and so don't sell any products or anything like that. Just get paid directly by my clients to provide them some advice. And I've been in the financial advice industry since 2010 when I graduated from Iowa State University. And then after working for a few years at a couple different companies, is when I broke off to start my own firm. So I think most of my clients are in their 30s and 40s, and help them managing their household finances and helping newlywed couples merge their finances together and manage investment accounts and things like that.
Excellent. And you and I were talking a little bit beforehand that I've been to South Dakota on many occasions. My grandpa actually was raised on a farm in South Dakota, and it's not a common thing to meet folks from South Dakota because there just aren't that many of you. But
yeah, that's exactly right. It's certainly fun meeting somebody that's been there because, yeah, like I said, there's just not many people can point to it on a map, but it is a wonderful place other than some harsh winters, but that's okay.
That's just how it goes. So, Ross, I'm curious from your experience working with folks, getting their financial lives together, if they're individuals or they're two folks getting married and bringing the world together, what's an area that you found if people were able to, or when people do make an improvement, if they can, creates the biggest return for them?
Yeah, I think as far as the, you know, numbers wise, I find that the especially for this day and age with the cost of homes, that kind of, I mean, one of the two biggest pain points in a family's budget is generally the mortgage payment and car purchases. And sometimes that's simultaneously along with paying down student loans. And so if a household, you know, can reduce their mortgage and their car payments, that certainly provides them the opportunity to improve their finances a lot for whether that's getting started investing or you know maxing out their employer sponsored retirement plans by reducing some of those fixed expenses that allows them the opportunity to create wealth outside of their home and or just if they need some extra room in the budget to spend money in more enjoyable areas like traveling, keeping those fixed expenses down goes a long ways and can really make some big improvements in their lives.
Yeah, I think that housing costs, and I think it's exactly what you said. It's housing and transportation that takes the biggest bite out of people's budgets. And I read last week or 2 weeks ago that rents have increased by 30% over the past 10 years. And unfortunately, 30% of millennials that bought a home recently took money out of retirement accounts to do so. And you and I both live in markets where I think the real estate is going up pretty quickly. And so if you make a bad decision about where to live or purchase a home that's too expensive, that can really take a bite out of your, or I guess, damage your ability to be financially successful long term. So that's such an important thing to weigh.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And especially we've seen it here recently with interest rates going up a bit. That's, with mortgage rates getting, where they were just a few years ago in the low 3% range to now in the 4.5+% range, that mortgage payment is getting higher and higher for, and since house values haven't gone down proportionally, it's, buying a home today just eats up that much more of the budget. So, and it's such a long-term decision and, really locking it in that it's important to really making sure that you don't, in a way, become house poor and putting too much of your budget towards that fixed expense.
And that's tough advice for people to take, and maybe it's even impossible because it's such an emotional decision. So.
Yeah, and the home is, it's not only a financial decision, but it's, it's your home. So it's what, it's a valuable piece of your family, and picking out, the right area to live, the right part of town. Oftentimes that can come with a cost, but doing, anything you can to keep that cost low is important.
No doubt about it. So there's so much stuff for us to worry about. So much stuff for people to worry about, and it's a list that's probably growing and growing and growing. But do you find that there are certain areas that are on the minds of your clients most commonly?
Yeah, when especially when a client comes to me for the first time, or if you will, a prospective client, they usually come to me with a list of concerns, and they've usually just gotten to a point where there's the list has gotten too long, where they want to hire me for help. But I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking, but it is just the number of things just adding up, and it's especially for younger couples, it's making sure that they're properly managing their monthly budget, so they're not living paycheck to paycheck. Making sure that they're saving enough for their future retirements and other financial goals. If they want to find, some money, if they want to, whether it's travel more or taking care of a family member, just how can they achieve those goals? Making sure that they're protecting their assets with the right amount, right types of insurance, estate plans, and reducing their tax bills. Just a whole host of things that can keep them up, but oftentimes it's just that the complexity often catches up to them, and they've gotten to a point in life where they prefer to look for outside advice for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it seems like if you were to turn on, or if you did turn on financial media or open up the internet to some kind of a financial page, you would see a thousand other things that people are, that supposedly are focused on, but in reality, it's all too often, if we just really focused on the fundamentals, like sticking to a budget or having a budget and then making sure that we're consistently saving, that would probably get us going in the right direction. So.
Yeah, I think it's like anything in life with it's just creating the right habits from the beginning, and simple things like just automating your various savings and investments so that you don't have to monitor it on such a frequent basis, or take action on it repeatedly, so that create automatic habits and let systems really kind of take the reins, and in doing that and setting things up the right way, and then just monitoring that progress over time, really helps someone kind of set themselves up for success instead of potentially kind of getting in their own way, like you said, watching the financial news or anything like that, that can kind of take them off course or distract them from their real priorities.
I was reading one of your blog posts, and I saw that one of your one of the thoughts in one of the recent posts was the more frequently that you're looking at your balances, the greater potential for behavioral mistakes. And that made me think of a line I heard years ago, which was your investment accounts are like a bar of soap. The more you touch them, the smaller it gets. So I thought that that was good advice.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that obviously you still want to monitor and keep an eye and make sure, you know, maybe if you thought you had set up automatic contributions, you want to confirm that those aren't going through, and making sure that there aren't miscellaneous expenses taken out of your account that you don't know about. You certainly want to do your own due diligence and be proactive in monitoring those. But the day-to-day, watching of the markets or the investments that you have, in the short term, those things fluctuate. Having a long-term perspective will kind of help you out in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's definitely essential. Everything you're talking about, automating, making sure and monitoring that everything's doing what it's supposed to, but not letting your emotions cause you to do something foolish by looking at the swings. And kind of going back to what we were talking about a minute ago about reading financial media and things like that, we are, I think, or at least I am, interested in shiny objects. It's like that dog from the movie Up. When it sees a squirrel, it runs away from whatever it was doing. And things like cryptocurrency and wanting to invest in Apple because it's now a $1 trillion company, those are all fun and exciting things to talk about, but not necessarily in line with a good long-term strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just important to accept that over the course of your investing lifetime, you're not going to hit every home run, or however you want to say it. But there's going to be opportunities that you miss out on, whether it's investing or the latest fad diet or whatever it may be. There's always going to be something out there that you just can't hit every opportunity and take advantage of everything. So you just have to stay focused on creating a plan from the onset and sticking to it and know that it's what's best for you. And so I found that the best way to do that as far as investing goes is really to keep things as simple as possible. And fortunately today with technology and how low cost index funds are, you can really get the main principles of investing down pretty easily and set up without a whole lot of effort, and to really help you out in the long run, and just kind of setting that up for today and focusing on continuing to contribute to those accounts and increasing those contributions over time, creating those good habits, and then being comfortable with what you set up and sticking to the plan, because if you do try the time in the market or invest in the latest craze, eventually those things wash out and you might be left behind. So
yeah, I think that people have a tendency to forget that in order to actually beat the market, you have to be right twice and not just once, because you have to get in before everybody else realizes it. So that's one piece of timing. And then you also have to get out at the right time. And that's really what makes it difficult for certainly individual investors, but institutional money managers to be successful beating the market as well. So, something else I'm curious about is what do you find that people really have a hard time doing that if they were able to change that behavior would make the biggest difference?
I think sometimes you really, some of my clients will have a tough time reducing their household budget any further than what they have. Say they've got their mortgage payment and their car situation, like we discussed earlier. Maybe that's maybe that is in a good spot. But then, raising a family is expensive, and so having one or three kids, whatever it may be, in daycare, the budget gets pretty tight pretty quick, and so sometimes you just can't reduce your monthly spending really any further, or without making huge sacrifices in lifestyle. And so I think a huge opportunity then is to find ways to increase your income, because the basics of creating wealth come from spending less than you make and investing the difference. And so there's obviously two line items there as far as what the income is and what the spending is, what's coming in and what's going out. And so finding a way to increase that income, whether that's through raises at your current job, it's or taking a higher paying job at a new company, or adding in additional streams of income. Like today, we hear all the time about side hustles. Those can be either in line in kind of in conjunction with your work and your profession, or sometimes they can be complete passion projects that are totally opposite of what you do day to day. Because then, even just bringing in, even if it's a couple $100 per month of whether it's something you make or something you do that adds value to your community, if you can to make a little bit extra income, that couple $100 can go a really long way, whether that's to achieve your goals, or whether that's paying down debts, starting to invest, or doing fun things finally with your family, going on a family vacation or something like that. It's difficult to add either additional income or another source of income, but the individuals that do achieve that and do take action on that, they really reap the rewards pretty quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. That small little bits, maybe they don't seem like a lot, but over time, $100 here, $100 there makes an enormous difference. Exactly what you said. So, well, Ross, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, I think it's really important to track your spending and your net worth on a regular basis, because without knowing where you currently stand, it's really difficult to make a plan for where you'd like to go. So what I encourage people to do is, especially if they have a significant other, is to have a monthly, or maybe it's a quarterly, money date night with your significant other. Sit down, review your spending, total up your accounts, your various investment accounts, and your net worth, and see if where you're spending your money is in line with your family goals and priorities, and making sure that you're always on the same page and keeping a open line of communication when it comes to money, in the household and between each other, because the money can be a very sensitive subject, and it's best to have those conversations on a regular basis.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So, Ross, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Yeah, my firm's website is lindalefinancial.com, and I also write, like you mentioned, write a weekly blog post on there, so you can sign up on the newsletter web or subscription link, and then also I'm on Twitter, and my handle is at Ross V. Menke.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ross your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Check out his website and definitely check out his weekly blog. There is definitely a ton of good stuff on there, and follow him on Twitter as well. I will list all those in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Ross.
Thanks for having me, George. This is great.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!